Okay, we're going to start. I'm going to backtrack to yesterday a little bit just to go over the structure. We had a machloket in the Mishnah and then in the Braita also about between Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama about these two kohanim that are me'id zelazeh, right? Is one aid acceptable in a kohen case, or do we need two aidim, right? Do each of them need someone else to join them in order to testify, and it's not good? So the first explanation we had of that machloket is that it's dependent on whether we say we're choshesh legomlim or not choshesh legomlim. Are we concerned that these guys are lying to help each other? And then we brought in a whole question, but there's another case with Demai where when, you know, they have the flip shita, so either one says we flip the shita, really it's a mistake, or we say no, there's a difference between each of the cases. I'm not going to go back into all the details. That was the first way of understanding it. The second way of understanding is basically what's going to lead us to the whole rest of the sugya, which is going to continue even through tomorrow. But really, it's kind of finished already, which is that maybe the machloket between them is, are we ma'alim mitruma liyochsin or not? Okay, which means, if we see a kohen who eats truma, can we assume he's a kohen l'chol davar v'inyan? Okay, now, meaning, okay, for our purposes, for yochsin. Now, it's unclear exactly what this means. I was unclear about it yesterday. I'm still not 100% clear on it. The Mepharshim aren't so clear about it. What does it mean, ma'alim mitruma? What does it mean, a kohen for yuchsin? Right? It's always the opposite. It's the woman that we have to check. Is she okay to marry a kohen? It's never the kohen himself. So some people say that there's an issue that you have to prove that somebody's not a mamzer. In other words, and if this guy is known to be a kohen, then we can know that he's not a mamzer. Okay, and right, which is a little strange because, first of all, I guess you can know he's not an Eved, you can know he's not a Natin. In other words, it's like a certain chazaka of, oh, well, if he's a Kohen, then clearly his Yichus is clear. And if we don't have that kind of a proof, then the assumption is that we'd have to go find some proof that he's okay. But some people say, what are you talking about? We don't have to prove anybody. When you go get married, you don't have to prove, I'm not a Mamzer, I'm not an Eved. It's as long as there's no reason to think you are, we're not going to start checking around. So it's a little bit unclear what else this could mean. In other words, if it doesn't mean that, then, you know, then what else could it mean? And then it's like, then we get into murky waters. Like, it's not really clear what we mean. But the issue is, whatever it is, it's saying basically that a Kohen is considered a Kohen for the purposes of marriage. And again, a bit of a question what exactly that means. But the rest of our sugya is going to be based on this issue that we're not 100% clear about. What is exactly this yuchsin issue? But whatever it is, we're going to now ask the question about all sorts of things. In other words, so again, going back to the machloka Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama, if you say eid echad is enough, then you're going to say what? We're not ma'alem truma liyuchsin. So eid echad is enough to allow him to eat truma because it's not enough to allow him for yuchsin purposes, but who cares? Because just because he eats truma doesn't mean anyone's going to assume that he's a good enough kohen for marriage purposes. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, no, ma'alim mitruma liyuchsin, according to this interpretation. Right? Again, we don't know what Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama say. We're just guessing. This maybe is their understanding. And because he would say ma'alim mitruma liyuchsin, we therefore need two witnesses to prove he can eat truma, because once we allow him to eat truma, he's going to go all the way and be considered a kohen 100%. Okay, and that's the issue we're going to get into today. We saw yesterday also, then they asked the question, what about shtara liyuchsin? Meaning if someone is signed, I'm a kohen, I borrowed money from so-and-so, and there's two eidim at the bottom. Are the eidim verifying the fact that he's a kohen and the loan? Are they verifying everything in the document? And this is a good, whenever they say, you know, you're going to sign on the document, they say, make sure to read everything, right? In other words, did this guy really read everything and sign on that also? Or is he really just signing on the base thing, which is the loan, and the fact that he's a Kohen we're not really relating to? So that's the machloka, whether we be ma'alemi shtar at liyuchsin or not, depending on how you view the signatures on the shtar. The last question we got into, which we're going to pick up from there, is Nisiu Kapayim. If we see a Kohen Dochin, can we assume he's a Kohen, again, for Yuchsin purposes? Okay, so now the question is going to be, there's a Machloket. Okay, there's a Machloket. One says yes, one says no. And then it is Rav Nachman, I believe, asks Rava, who is it? It was Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak asks Rava, what do we do? He says, Rava answers, it's a machloket. And he says, well, what's the halacha? Okay, so we're going to start from here. We read it yesterday, but I didn't have it organized well. So we'll start about 12 lines from the bottom. So Amrale ana matnita yadana. I can prove this from a braita. Now, if you look at today's sheet that I organized, we're going to see that they're going to bring four different braitot. Okay, three of them are very similar. The first one's different. Four braitot that they're going to try to prove from there that nisiu kapayim would be ma'ale liyuchsin. We're going to see, actually. Different ones are going to go different ways. Okay, we'll do one by one. So we're going to see. They're each going to try to bring an answer to resolve this question. Are we ma'ale minisiyu kapayim liyuchsin? And each one is going to be rejected, and it's going to be said that you can understand it in a different way, and therefore it's not necessarily a good proof. Okay, so now we're going to read inside. So again, if you look at the fonts, you'll see there's the braitot in a particular font. Anytime there's a pasuk, it's a different font. That's often the pasukim are quoted in the braita. And then they're going to have the Gemara's commentary on the braita that's going to explain why they think that that braita can answer up the question. So here's the braita. D'tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, G'dola chazaka. Chazaka is such a great thing. Shenemar, how do you know the chazaka is so strong? Because it says in this pasuk in Ezra, there were these people who got married, and they tried to find their papers of lineage to prove that they were kohanim. They couldn't find. So the tirshata, which we said was Nehemiah, the ruler said to them, you won't be able to eat from the Kodesh Kodeshim until the Kohen asks the Urim V'Tumim, right, and it's clarified what your status is. So now, what does it mean, Asher lo yochlu mikodesh ha-kodeshim? So now they're going to say, what did he say to them, the Tirshata? The Gemara says, Amar lahem, Hare atem bechezkatchem, b'me hayitem ochlim bagola, b'kod shegvul, avkan b'kod shegvul. Okay, I just want to check one thing. I'm trying to figure out if that's part of the braita or not. But I think it's not. Oh, no. So this is part of the braita. I made a mistake. This is part of the braita. Okay, the braita ends with, this is what Rabbi Yossi is explaining now, that the tirshata said to them, you can't eat kodesh ha-kodeshim, but what can you eat? You can eat truma. Okay? So meaning, this is why gdola chazaka, because you can continue to eat truma, just like you ate truma in chutz la'aretz, okay? Because there was truma to Rabbanan in those days in chutz la'aretz. What was the issue? Why was there truma to Rabbanan? Because they assumed they were coming back. And nowadays, there's no truma in chutz la'aretz. But in those days, it was close by, and they were hoping they were coming back, so they kept truma going. Mit Rabbanan. So now, what's the assumption we can make from here? Now, what's the assumption? What else were they doing besides truma? They were obviously also being duchening. They were doing nesiut kapayim. So now, if we're going to say ma'alim minesiut kapayim liyuchsin, now there's a big assumption made here, and this is why I was a little flubbed yesterday. The assumption here is that if you can't eat kodshe kodshim, then you also can't do yuchsin. In other words, yuchsin is a high level. We've talked about it already. Ma'alas to be yuchsin. And therefore, if we're not going to allow them to be full-fledged kohanim, then we're not going to allow them either for yuchsin. Now we have a break, right? We have a split. We're going to allow them for truma. We're going to allow them whatever they were b'chazkat, right? They were b'chazkat nesiut kapayim. But now the assumption is that not for yuchsin, right? This is they can't do yuchsin and kodshe kodshim. So if that's the case, right? Kodshe kodshim meaning eating of the korbanot and stuff like that. So now,
In theory, I mean, they're talking about the time way after Chorban Abayim.
Well, it was Ezra. They were going back to the Ben Hamikdash. So, you know, right. It was by a chain, the beginning of by a chaining. Okay? So now, what is he saying? No, it actually was, and that's why. So what do they say? Hani kevan de parsi adayu atal asukinu. If nesiu kapayim would be ma'ale liyuchsin, if we're going to allow nesiu kapayim, then people are going to come to basically think that it's okay for yuchsin. So it must be the aim ma'ale nesiu kapayim liyuchsin. Otherwise, it can't be. He would have allowed them to do nesiu kapayim. That's the assumption here. Now the Gemara is going to say, no, there's absolutely no concern that they would cross this line and go from Nisiyu Kapayim to Yuchsin. Why? Because, okay, and this is going to be the rejection of this proof. Shanehacha diria cheskaihu. Their chazaka was weakened. Why was it weakened? Because the people saw these kohanim were eating the kodesh kodashim and these aren't. So they already knew to distinguish between, you know, this kohen sug aleph and kohen sug bet. And everybody knew that these were kohanim sug bet. And therefore, they weren't going to allow them, you know, there was no concern of allowing this to do yuchsin, that they would be acceptable, because they were weakened, because they weren't eating kodesh kodashim. And therefore, even though normally you would be ma'alim, you see a kapayim liyuchsin, in this case, there was no concern of that, and therefore you can't prove anything from here. In other words, it could be they were ma'alim, you see a kapayim liyuchsin, but he didn't stop them from duchening, because he knew there was another reason they weren't going to send them to, they weren't going to think that they were okay for yuchsin, because riachas kayu. Now they're going to say, de'ilote mahachi, because if you don't say that, what's going to be your problem? Remember, we had a homachloket. Are you ma'alim from truma liyuchsin? So they're saying, if you were worried about yuchsin in this case, well, then you shouldn't have allowed them to eat truma either if you're of the opinion that ma'alim mitruma liyuchsin. So that's what we're going to read right now. So, lemanda amar ma'alim mitruma liyuchsin, kevanda achle betruma, ate lasukinu. You would have the same problem for the guy who said, ma'alim mitruma liyuchsin. Now, if you remember, I don't know if you remember this detail, but they said, the machloket between the whether nesiu kapayim is ma'alim liyuchsin or not is totally, it's not dependent on ma'alim mitruma liyuchsin. Like, even the one who says ma'alim mitruma liyuchsin might say, e ma'alim nesiu kapayim liyuchsin. And therefore, what they're saying is, if you're going to try to give a blanket answer for this nesiu kapayim, the truma is an independent machloket, and the truma, if you would say ma'alim mitruma liyuchsin, then you'd also have to be concerned here. So it must be, since they're not concerned about that, why are they not concerned? Because Duriyachaskayu. In other words, there's no concern in this case, no matter what you say in the general machloket about whether you're ma'alim mitruma or nesiu kapayim liyuchsin. In this case, whether you'd say yes or no to this, in this case, for sure there would be no concern because these guys aren't eating kodshim, and therefore they're distinguished already from all the other kohanim, and therefore there's no issue. Okay? That's where we got to.
So it's not a general rule. It's just
right. It's just specifically in this case. In the right. Now, you have to remember, this would be the case in the time where there's also a Beit HaMikdash, right? As soon as there's no Beit HaMikdash and there's no distinction with kohanim between those who eat kodesh kodeshim and those who don't, then already you have no way to distinguish. And then you'd have to be concerned, right? So basically the whole issue was, can we prove it from the source? In the end, we can't prove it because this source could go either way because there's other factors at play here. So now they want to know, according to this, what did Rabbi Yossi say in the beginning? Now we're going to have, okay, the second chart on the page, we're skipping, because here's the whole structure of the Gemara we're going to get to, right? The four attempts to answer this question, the rejections of them all. But now we're going to basically understand Rabbi Yossi's Braita in two different ways, about what exactly happened here. What were they eating in the Gola, and what did he allow them to eat when he came to Eretz Yisrael? So now, I organized that in the chart, the second chart on the page. So now the Gemara is going to say, Elamai Gdola Chazakah. What does it mean, gdola chazaka? Gdola chazaka means it's very strong. Now, to allow you to do something you were doing before doesn't mean it's so strong. That's just keeping things status quo. You don't need strength to keep things status quo. So if they were doing truma nesiu kapayim l'chutz la'aretz, so what was the gdola chazaka? Now they're in Israel, they're doing the exact same thing. So the Gemara is going to give two different answers. Me'ikara acho b'truma d'rabanan, hashta acho b'truma d'oraita. Okay? In other words, originally they were eating in the galut. What did we say? Truma's only d'rabanan there. Now when they came to Eretz Yisrael, he now allowed them to eat truma d'oraita. That's the chiddush. Okay? That's why gdola chazaka. But now we're going to have a whole different interpretation of what went on here, what this takana of hatir shata was. V'ibayit ema hashtanami b'truma d'rabanan achol, b'truma d'oraita lo achol. Now what are we going to say? That actually we misunderstood. When they came to Israel, according again to the second interpretation, they were only allowed to eat truma d'rabanan. This chazaka was not that great that it allowed them to eat truma d'oraita. Obviously, he's going to have to explain them what does it mean gdola chazaka then. But right now, he's going along a different line of thinking, the Gemara, and they're saying they weren't allowed to eat truma d'oraita. V'chi maskina mitruma liyuchsin. And now, why aren't we worried? Remember, we said lamanda amar ma'alim mitruma liyuchsin. you know, you'd have to be worried in this case. And I say, oh, no, you wouldn't have to be worried because these guys are weakened anyway. They're different. But now they say, no, now we have a different answer to that question. Because what's the issue? If you're going to say, b'chi maskina mitruma liyuchsin, only b'truma d'oraita, b'truma d'rabanan lo maskina. So this would explain that in a different way, that there's no concern at all about b'yan l'mitruma liyuchsin, because that would only be those who eat truma d'oraita, and these guys are only eating truma d'rabanan. Now you have to wonder a little bit how obvious it was to people. I mean, there's two questions. Number one, how obvious was it to people that they weren't, which truma they were eating and which ones they weren't. That's a good question, actually.
Yes, that the Rambam says that Truma Doraita is only on Shevaminim.
Yafeh.
And then Truma Derabanan is on everything else.
Very good. So, right. So Rashi says, Trumat Perot Ha'ilam V'Yerek. In other words, there's certain things. And then you could say, so we saw the Kohanim eating the Perot Ha'ilam and the, you know, the things that didn't have Truma Doraita on them. Could say, right? Because it's Reshit Gankati Rosh Chavi Yitzarecha. So it's just the Dagan, the Tirosh, and the Yitzhar, right? The grapes, the wheat, and the oil, the olive oil. So it could be you're only seeing them eat that stuff. The other question, by the way, which we didn't bring up, but it's a question about if they were eating kudshim, how did people know also that they were eating kudshim? They basically did it in the mikdash, you know, at Harabai. Like, you know, you had to eat it at least within the walls of the Harabai or the walls of Jerusalem, I forget now. Kodshe Kodshim, I think, have to be within the walls of Harabai. Yeah. So who was seeing them?
Maybe at
they were eating or they weren't eating? That's a good question. What?
Maybe at Aliyat HaRegel they saw.
Maybe. Right. It could be. Anyway, it's a question. But okay. The Gemara doesn't seem to think it's a question. So now. Ve'ela. So according to this interpretation, if they were only allowing them to eat Truma D'Rabanan, so Ela Maigdola Chazaka. So here's the gadlut of the chazakah. Da'af agav di'ika l'migzar mishum truma d'oraita lo gazrinan. Ah, right? It's not that it was so great that it allowed them to do more than they were doing before. It allowed them to do exactly what they were doing before. But what might you have thought? Once they get to Eretz Yisrael and there's truma d'oraita, then maybe we should be concerned that if we allow them to eat truma d'rabanan, they'll also eat truma d'oraita. So gadolah chazakah. That we don't have to make a gzera on them, and they're allowed to eat, even though you might have thought to make a gzera. That's the gzolah chazakah. So, in other words, it's right. Sometimes to maintain a status quo, you have to have strength to make, right? You might think that some situation changes and it would affect the status quo. And here they're saying, ah, so this allows us to overcome that, and there's no change in the status quo, and that's the strength of this chazakah. Okay, so two different interpretations of the braita, but this is a little bit off our topic. Now we're going to have another question. Ubatruma, before we get to the next attempt to answer the question. So now we're going to have a question on, if you keep going on my sheet, I organized it also. There's a question on the second understanding of the braita that we just said. Ubatruma d'oraita lo achil, they weren't eating truma d'oraita. You remember our pasuk. The haktiv, doesn't it say, asher lo yochlu mikodesh hakodeshim? What is kodesh hakodeshim? That's not truma. That's kodeshim. Mikodesh HaKodeshim, so here's the answer. Mikodesh HaKodeshim hu delo achil. Sorry, this is the question. Ha b'truma d'oraita achil. It sounds like they're eating truma d'oraita. So now the answer, no. Hachi kamar. Lo b'midi de'ikre kodesh. Dichti b'chozar lo yochal kodesh. In other words, they weren't eating kodesh, which we call truma kodesh, right? B'chozar lo yochal kodesh, that's truma. The lo b'midi de'ikre kodeshim. No, it's not the Kodesh and not the Kodshim, right? We generally say Kodshim, Kodshim, we're like the highest level, right? Here they're saying Kodesh and Kodshim. Not in Kodesh and not in Kodshim. And what's Kodshim? Here we're going to quote a pasuk that we learned in Yavama. Dechtiv ubat kohen ki tiyeh li'ish zar, hi b'trumat ha-kodeshim lo tochal. Remember what we learned there? Amar mar b'muram min ha-kodeshim lo tochal. What does it mean? It means things you take out of the Kodshim. The matznot ki'una that come out of the korbanot, that's what it's talking about. Okay, so there's Kodesh and there's Kodshim, and therefore, that's how they read that Pasuk. That they weren't allowed to eat Kodesh HaKodeshim means not Kodesh HaKodeshim, but Kodesh and Kodshim. Okay, Tashma. Here is our second attempt to answer the question. Chazaka l'kehuna, okay, this proves that you're a Kohen, okay? What gives you Chazkat Kehuna? Nesiut Kapayim b'Bavel. If you live in Bavel, then if you duchen, that means you're a Kohen. Achilat Chala b'Suria. Okay, Surya has a halachic status. This is part of the areas that were conquered, I believe, in the time of Shlomo, right? When it was Eretz Israel, the Hagdola, you would say, right? Is that what's the word? Hashlema. Right? So he conquered parts of Syria, and therefore it's considered, it has the status of Eretz Yisrael for certain things. Okay? So, Chala was a chiyuv also there, midoraita. The chiluk matanot bikrachim. Okay, here's a halacha that you're supposed to give the zroa lechayim and kevat to the kohen, even from non-korbanot. Right? If you just sacrifice an you shecht an animal to eat, chulin, okay, not kochim, you still have to give the matanot lekuna. Now, if you do it in the krachim, meaning if he takes matanot lekuna in a big city where everybody sees, okay, where it's more public, then the assumption is he must be a kohen, because otherwise people would come and say, oh, you're not a kohen. If it's in a small town, maybe no one noticed, or maybe, right, but if it's in a big city where there's a lot of people and stuff, then if he's doing it, it must be he really is a kohen.
One can, of course, argue the opposite.
You could argue the opposite that in a small town, everybody knows him, and right. I was thinking about that as I was saying it, but yeah. So, right. And so here they say, krachim or makom sheshvakim, Rashi says, shvakim hem, right? They're the shuk, umutsuyim bo, ovrim v'shavim hamikirim bo. People will recognize him, whereas if he goes to some small city, we don't know, maybe people don't know who he is. I agree that you could say the flip. Anyway, that's the assumption they're going on here. So now, what's the main thing for our purposes? Katani mia nisiut kapayim. What does it say? Nisiut kapayim, chazaka lekahuna. Right? My lovely yuchsin, is this not for yuchsin purposes? What does it mean? Chezka kehuna. It must be for yuchsin. So they say, lo l'truma. It must be to allow him to eat truma. So now they're going to say, okay, this does, okay, so that our attempt was to say, ma'alimi nesiyu kapayim liyuchsin, according to this, because it says, nesiyu kapayim chazaka lekehuna. Now the Gemara says, no, just because it says it's chazaka lekehuna, you can explain it's chazaka lekehuna for truma. So now, if you want to follow on the chart here, we're now at the rejection. But now, we're going to have a question on this rejection, a problem with it. Why? What's the problem? Vahadumia, if you're going to say that this whole braita about the eating challah, right, is a chazaka le truma, well, what do you mean? Challah and truma are basically the same thing, right? So they're the same level, challah and truma. If they're the same level, well, then you wouldn't say if they're eating challah, that's a proof they can eat truma. It's the same, right? If they're eating challah, obviously they're eating truma, so there's absolutely no point to say that. So, ha-dumya ta'achilat challah k'taneh. Ma'achilat challah li'yuchsin, av desiyu kapayim li'yuchsin. In other words, the only way to read the achilat challah line in this braita is to say that from challah we're ma'alin li'yuchsin. And if it means that from challah we're ma'alin li'yuchsin, then it would obviously mean where we have a braita that's, right, every part of it must be the same. If chazaka l'kahuna is this in this place and that in that place and that in that place, well then, obviously, we mean the same thing for all of them. So if one of them must mean yuchsin, then this also must mean yuchsin. So now they answer it up and they say, lo, achila chala gufa l'truma. You could say the chala is the chazaka for truma. Why? Now here we have a whole machloket. We're going to see the machloket inside in a few minutes. But kasavar, chala bizman hazeh de rabbanan utruma de oraita. Okay, there was an assumption that once there was the churban bayit, so then chala drops down to a drabanan status and truma to a d'oraita status. Okay, we're not going to get into the reasons yet. We're going to see that soon. And therefore, what are you going to say? Umaskina michala drabanan the truma d'oraita. If we see someone eating chala drabanan, we're going to assume that's enough to tell us that he has cheskas kahuna and he can now eat truma d'oraita. Okay, so now we don't have a question anymore. And then they're saying, and this is according to, okay, Kede apich lehu Rav Huna bered Rav Yoshua le Rabbanan. This is according to the flip, okay, that's what Kede apich, like kafuch. We saw this yesterday. I told you, aleph before a verb is hifil. This is where you see it. Kede apich, hefich, right, like hafach, okay? Kede hafach lehu Rav Huna bered Rav Yoshua le Rabbanan, meaning to Rabbanan thought the flip. Derabanan thought the chala bizman hazeh is d'oraita and truma is derabanan, and Rav Yehuna bered Rav Yeshua flipped the sheetot and said, no, it's dafka the opposite. It's chala is derabanan and truma is d'oraita. So this braita must follow. We're going to have the exact flip soon, but we're going to see a braita that they're going to answer up follows rabanan. Okay, but this braita follows, right? Okay, so let's just clarify. We had chala is ma'alin l'truma, right? In order to say that, you have to say chala is derabanan and truma is d'oraita. And then we can explain that this whole braita, the topic is, these are cheskas kahuna for truma, In which case, it tells us absolutely nothing about Nesiyut Kapayim. Okay? That's our answer. Again, you could explain it maybe that it is Nesiyut Kapayim Liyuchsin, but we don't have a good proof for it because you could read it either which way. This was all an attempt to say, let's find a source. Let's try to prove from this source. It must be this is the case. And then they say, no, you can't prove anything. Okay, we're going to have the same thing with all these sources. All these sources are very similar now. Tashma. Chazaka lekahuna. Again, tashma means we're bringing an outside source, something. Okay, in this case, it happens to be a braita. And we're going to use this source to try to prove our point. Chazaka lekahuna nesiut kapayim. Okay, so again, we have the exact same line, right? Chazaka lekahuna is nesiut kapayim. V'chiluk granot be'eretz Yisrael u'besuria. Okay, what does that mean? In the places where, right, if you see someone standing in line to get the truma in Eretz Yisrael, one second, I just want to check if Surya goes with this next line, or, one second, Chiluk Granot, sorry, Sheba Eretz Yisrael, period. Okay, it's Chiluk Granot Sheba Eretz Yisrael. If you see people online to get truma in Eretz Yisrael, with the assumption is it's truma d'oraita, right? Then you can also assume they're a kohen. Ubisuria, ubekol makom sheshluchei rosh chodesh megiim nesiut kapayim raya. Okay, so now in all the places where the shluchei rosh chodesh get to, remember they would send out messengers to say about rosh chodesh when the new month is going to be. So they would send them out, right? Those are more close to Eretz Yisrael. In all those places. So Nesiyu Kapayim is considered a proof. Why? What's unique about those places? Because in those places, there are Kavua Batei Din. Okay? And once there's a Kavua Batei Din, we can assume that any Kohen who's doing Nesiyu Kapayim must be a good Kohen because the Batei Din are kind of responsible for them. Yeah?
You talk about the area that's Shlemah Eretz Yisrael, but not really cool. It's like...
It's like in between, right? I don't know what all the places are. I think here we can see if they talk about it. The Quran's usually good for this kind of stuff. I don't have the Quran in front of me right now, but
I'm sorry.
It was the land that was conquered by David HaMelech as opposed to Yeshua.
Uh-huh. That
it
is
had a different halachic status in terms of kibush.
Okay.
And it follows through on a lot of different halachos in terms of what we do and what we don't do in terms of.
Okay.
Right, but is that the same as the Komakom Shoshoshchei Rosh Chodesh Megi'im? Is that also from the time of David?
I got the
that's what
that
they are?
This was
from the time
outside
of Shlomo?
Of Yerushalayim, not
okay.
Necessarily outside of Israel.
Oh, no, it's got to be outside of Israel.
So
definitely outside of Israel.
By King David and
uh-huh.
Independent to Eretz
okay.
During the reign of
okay, so exactly what you said, Shana. So it's everything that was basically conquered by David HaMelech and remained in their...
Right, you also said that you know,
right. I saw it. Right. You're right. The 15-day walk from Israel. In other words, everything within 15 days walk. Right. On the other side of the Yarden. Right. It's all the areas close by. Okay. So all those places.
Whether or not.
Right.
Remember, they had that whole thing that they didn't do Shemitah, but instead they did the
right.
They did Matanot La'aniyim.
Yeah.
Because it was still
yeah.
Kisha, not Dukat.
Right. They're treated in this in-between
it
status.
Weird.
When we get to Gittin, you also see there's certain things that are considered, like a whole diyum. What's considered, there's different halachas between Medinat Hayam and Israel, and what's considered Israel, what's considered not. Each issue has its own kind of definitions. So it's not all across the board. I'm sure there's some things that are across the board, but some are in between. So anyway, what are we saying here? All these places, Nesiyu Kapayim is a proof. Aval lo chiluk granot. Okay, but chiluk granot is not a proof in these places. Ubavel kisuria. Okay, Bavel is like Surya for this issue. The Nesiyu Kapayim would be raya, but not chiluk granot. Rashba gomer af Alexandria shel Mitzrayim barishona, mipnei shebeitin kfuin sham. Okay, the Alexandria of Mitzrayim at an earlier point in history had kavua batei din, and therefore they had the same status as Surya and the places that the Shluchei Rosh Chodesh would get to. Now, what's the point from here? Katani miha nesiu kapayim, right? And my lovely yuchsin, right? Shouldn't it be for yuchsin? Right? You can't say it's for truma here because truma is listed as one of the options, right? So what are we going to do now? The exact flip of what we did last time. They're going to say, lo, lechala. It means that if you see them online for chiluk or no, for truma, then we're going to allow them also to eat challah. So then they say, what do you mean? Hadum yadachiluk renot. Isn't it the same? Isn't challah and truma equal? Katane machiluk renot liyuchsin. So therefore, chiluk renot must mean that we're ma'ali misham liyuchsin. Av nasiyu kapayim liyuchsin. Then they answer, lo. Chiluk renot gufa lechala. Okay, it means the chiluk renot, even that, is ma'alin lechala. And now we're going to have the flip shita, right? The rabbana. Kasavar, truma basman azed rabbanan, vechala deoraita. So this braita is of the flipped opinion. And therefore, what are they saying? Maskina mitruma derabbanan. We allow you, if we see you eating truma derabbanan in Eretz Yisrael, we're going to allow you to eat chala deoraita. Okay, now they're going to finally show us this machloket between Rav Yeshua, Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua, and Rabbanan about this issue and what's it based on. Ukedash kachino Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua, the Rabbanan. Da'am Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua, ashkachtinu l'Rabbanan v'bei Rav, diyatve v'ka'amre. Okay, I saw the Rabbanan in the house of Rav that were sitting and saying, ta'afilu l'manda amar chuma b'zman hazeh d'Rabbanan, chala d'oraita. That even, okay, this is Rabbanan Shita. We're hearing Rabbanan Shita through Rav Huna, who holds the opposite. He says, this is what they told me, that even if you say the Truma B'zman Hazeh is Rabbanan, Chala B'zman Hazeh is Doraita. Why? Shahare, here's our proof. Sheva Shekivshu V'Sheva Shechilku Nitchaibu B'Chala V'Lo Nitchaibu B'Truma. What does that mean? The first, if you recall, when Yehoshua went and conquered the land, there were 7 years of fighting, and then 7 years of chiluk nachlaot. Until everybody was settled in their land, there wasn't a full chiyuv of truma. Okay? But there was a chiyuv of chala. Chala happened as soon as they got into the land, because it says bevoachem, okay? And it's not dependent on owning land, really, right? Truma and masrot are all depending on land owning and settling and all that. And therefore, they were chayv and chala, not betruma. So therefore, we're going to say the same here. Once there's no longer, we're no longer living in Israel, it's going to be the same thing, right? Once we're no longer all in Israel, it's going to be the same thing. V'amina lu'ana, but I said, adrabat should be the opposite. Afilu lamanda amar truma b'zman hazeh d'oraita, even those who hold the truma now is d'oraita, chala is only d'rabbanan. Why? D'tanya. Here's my braita to prove it. Bivoachem ela aretz. Here's the pasuk. Now, generally it says, ki tavo ela aretz. So what's bivoachem? Notice it's rabim. So, I bivoachem, yachomi shenichnesu lashnayim u'shlosha meraglim. It could have been from the first time they sent meraglim into Eretz Israel. Once they go in, the meraglim, well then already, that's bivoachem. There's already a bi'ah, a knisa. Talmud lamar bivoachem. When is bivoachem? Bibi'at kuchem amarti. It has to be that most of you are there and not some of you. V'chi askinu Ezra, and here we have it, right? When Ezra went up, we know this already, lav kulu salik, right? Not everybody went up, right? It was just like nowadays. You know, some people came on Aliyah, but not everybody, right? People were generally happy with their life in Bavel, and most of them didn't actually come. We see this a lot in Ezra and Nehemiah. There's a lot of criticism of the people who didn't come. So that's what we're saying. The chiv of chala midoraita is only when Rov Ha'am is living in Israel. And if Rov Ha'am isn't living, then it's only going to be Dorabanan. But truma, they say, is not dependent on that. And therefore, truma could be doraita while chala is midorabanan. So two flipped opinions, those are their proofs. So in the end, right, this still didn't prove us anything, right? Because in the end, if we say, right, so now we're just going to take this and do the reverse. If chala in the first braita was ma'ale l'truma, we're going to say in this braita truma is ma'ale l'chala, in which case nisiu kapayim is ma'ale l'chala, but it's not ma'ale l'yuchsin, or it can't necessarily prove that. Okay? Again, the braita could be read in both ways. It's just they're saying, since we have a different possible reading, it can't prove our answer to our question. Okay, we're up to the last source now. Tashma. Chazaka lekihuna nesiut kapayim. Okay, sounding familiar, right? Same thing. V'chiluk granot, okay, which we also discussed already. Ve'edut, here's a new one. Testimony. Testimony is a chazaka lekihuna. So now, they're going to say, what are you talking about? Edut chazakahu? Chazakahi? In other words, how can you say edut is a chazaka? Edut is edut. Chazaka is always when you don't have edut. You say, oh, he has a chazkas kahuna, right? But it's you know, Eidut is stronger than chazaka. Elalav hachi kamar. This must be how to read it. Okay, this is going to be their first attempt to read it, in which case they're going to prove the issue about yuchsin. Nisiut kapayim ki edut. Ki means kimo. Nisiut kapayim is like testimony. Ma edut liyuchsin, af nisiut kapayim liyuchsin. That must be what it means. It doesn't mean it's end, right? What's the cheskek on it? Nisiut kapayim, chiluk ranot, and edut, three things. No, it's saying chiluk ranot and nisiut kapayim are equivalent to edut. Wow, if it's equivalent to edut, obviously you'd be ma'ale liyuchsin. Can't say anything better than that, right?
Then there's, sorry, yeah. I don't understand what Edut is doing there. Anybody can be an Ed. All the other things were exclusive to Kohanim, which means...
No, it means, it doesn't mean if you're an Ed. It means if you bring testimony that you're a Kohen, then you have a Chazaka of Kahuna. But they say, of course, like, that's a ridiculous thing to say. So it must mean that Edut is not on this list of things. It means number one and number two are equivalent to having brought Edim that testify to the fact that you're a Kohen. They're just as strong. Okay? So now, they're going to say, no, that's not the case. Okay? Don't think that. In other words, if you read the Braita that way, that Edut, that Nisiu Kapayim and Chiluk Ranot are like Edut, then obviously you would say Malin Liyuchsin, and there would be the answer to our question. But now they say, no, that's not what it means. It means Edut Haba'a Mikoach Chazaka Ki Chazaka. Okay, this is a weird statement. It's a little bit unclear among the Mepharshim how to read it, but we'll read it in one particular way. If someone brings testimony about a chezkat kihuna, okay, which we're going to see a slew of cases, that is enough to say you're a Kohen. Okay? In other words, they don't have testimony that your father was a Kohen and his father was a Kohen and his father was a Kohen, but they have testimony that you, okay, we're going to see in a minute, I'll already give it away, that you were Ole Rishon LaTorah. Okay? This guy always got the first Aliyah. Ah, well, the first Aliyah is always given to a Kohen. There you have it. Okay? Or maybe not. We're going to see. But that's what they're saying. Edut haba mikoach hazakah. In other words, it's an, you're me'id that there's a chezkat kehuna. You're not me'id that we know he's a Kohen. You're me'id that there's some sort of evidence that this guy was a Kohen. And then, again, what do we say from here? Well, that doesn't prove anything about Yuchsin. That just proves that we can say you're a Kohen, but it might not be enough to say that you're a Kohen, le'inyan Yuchsin. And therefore, this also is rejected. Now we're going to have a slew of cases that talk about people, seeing people get the first Aliyah and assuming they're a Kohen based on that, or not. Ki Yahu da'ata l'kamed Rabbi Ami. Somebody came before Rabbi Ami. Amar le'en, muchzikani b'zeh shu Kohen. I have a muchzak b'zeh shu Kohen, right? I have a chazaka that this guy's a Kohen. Amar le'u, ma ra'ita, what did you see? And that's what makes you think that. Amar le'u, shekara rishon b'beit ha'kneset. So now they say, b'chezkat shu Kohen, or b'chezkat shu gadol. In other words, how do you know, okay, and here we see very interesting, it wasn't always, right, nowadays it's always a Kohen goes first, unless there's no Kohen in the shul. But maybe there was a big Talmid Chacham there, and if there's a big Talmid Chacham, they would give him rishon. So maybe he was a gadol. So what do they say? Shakara Harav Levi. What does it mean? If the first guy was a gadol, then the second guy isn't necessarily going to be a Levi. But if the first guy was a Kohen, then it always is followed by a Levi. So I saw that a Levi read after him, and therefore I know that it was a Kohen. Behalau Rabbi Ami l'kuhuna al-pif. Okay, and he allowed him to be a Kohen based on that. Here's another case. So they're going to all be very similar. Hahuda ata l'kamed Rabbi Yosho ben Levi. Amarlo, muchzakani b'zeshuhu Levi. I think he's a Levi. Amarlo, umara'ita. Amarli, shakara sheni b'beit ha'kneset. So again, they ask, b'chezkat shu Levi or b'chezkat shu gadol? So what are the answers? Shakara lefanav Kohen. Okay, it must be that a Kohen read before him. Ve'alau Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, l'levia al-pif. Because if what happens is if a gadol reads first, if a Kohen reads first and there's no Levi, then a Kohen reads twice. You know, that Kohen gets the Kohen gets the first two aliyot. I always, this is a great story. One of my ramim when I was learning in yeshiva, he told us, we were learning through the Mishnah Berurah, somehow it came up and he said, you know, there's this halacha, and he said, he was learning this with his chavrusa. They had a chavrusa in Mishnah Berurah, and he said, oh, that's so funny, we don't do that. And the guy said, what are you talking about? Of course we do that. And he said, I've never seen that happen. He said, of course you've never seen it happen. You're a Levi. It's like a great, right? Like, here's this guy, very Melumadi, you know, all this stuff, and he just never had been in Israel. Right.
Somebody asked David the other day, what do they do when there are no Kohanim?
He said, I have no idea, right? That's why it's important to learn these things, because as women, we often don't even understand these nuances, because we're not on that side. You know, we don't follow what's going on so much on that end. Anyway, it's one of the handicaps of being a woman in shul. Okay. This one's going to get a little more interesting, okay? Here he says, So now he says, he asks him. In other words, it's not enough for him to say he read Rishon. He asks him, well, did you see him online to collect the truma? Amar lo Rabbi Elazar. I don't understand. You're making the goren a criteria, and you're going to say that if there is no goren, like nowadays, that people don't collect truma, so this guy can't prove that he's a kohen from reading first in the in shul, having the first aliyah. So now, in other words, he's basically rejecting his line. Now, this is going to remind you of another story. So who are the players here? I want to make it clear. Rish Lakish was asking this guy, okay? In other words, Rish Lakish was questioning him. Rish Lakish says, did you see him collect the truma? And Rabbi Elazar comes and attacks him and says, why were you asking that, okay? And that shouldn't be a necessary part. If you remember, okay, I'm just going to remind you, Rabbi Yochanan was like the rabbi of Tamid Chaver of Rish Lakish and Rabbi Elazar. And as Rabbi Elazar and Rish Lakish were sort of on the next level, right, under Rabbi Yochanan, although they were kind of, you know, on similar level, but he was above them. So now what happens? We can see the exact same thing that happened in another story we had. Havuyat v'kamei de Rabbi Yochanan. Ataki hama asel l'kamei. So then they were both sitting before Rabbi Yochanan, and the same thing happened to Rabbi Yochanan. So the same thing happened, and Rish Lakish said to the guy, did you see that he was, you know, chilek ala goren? He basically ignored what Rabbi Elazar said, right? He said, I'm still going to ask him my question. I don't care that you thought I shouldn't ask it. Amrle Rabbi Yochanan. Now Rabbi Yochanan says, Tim v'im en sham goren b'teila kehuna. Rabbi Yochanan now says exactly what Rabbi Elazar says, which means what? The Rabbi Elazar learned it from Rabbi Yochanan, right? And what happened here? Do you remember for the story last time the same thing happened? Hadar Chazia the Rabbi Elazar. He goes back to Rabbi Elazar and he says to him, Bishut, you embarrassed me. Amar Shemat Milei, Debar Nafcha Velo, Amar La Mishme. And there's, you said something, you learned from Rabbi Yochanan, you didn't tell me Rabbi Yochanan said it. Like, you should have told me that Rabbi Yochanan told you that. Don't just, you said it, fine. I took it, I took it with a grain of salt. You said it, fine. I have my opinion, you have your opinion. But if you had told me Rabbi Yochanan, right, now you totally embarrassed me in front of Rabbi Yochanan, because I could have known that Rabbi Yochanan held this, and then I would never have asked that question. So, anyway, we had the exact same story. I mean, it would be interesting. I haven't had a chance to look, but Benny Lau has those books. Benny Lau has those books about Chachamim. It would be interesting to look up the relationship between Rabbi Elazar and Rish Lakish, because clearly, the fact that we've now seen the story twice, there's obviously some tension between them, and some of the, you know, it would be interesting to read up about it. Okay. Now the last story we're going to see today is Rabbi Chia and Rebbe. Okay, Rebbe and Rabbi Chia. Chad he'ala ben al pi aviv lekuna, v'chad he'ala ach al pi achiv lelevia. Okay, there were two cases. One of them did one and one of them did the other. We don't know who did who yet. One allowed a son to be considered a Kohen based on his father's testimony. And one allowed a brother to be a Levi, be considered a Levi, based on his brother's testimony. Obviously, this is strange. How can a father be made on a son and a brother on a brother, right? There are no gebe edu. So now we're going to see how, and we're going to see who said what, okay? Tistayim always means when we have a case where one says one and one says the other, and we don't know who, we're going to bring some other source, and we're going to say, that must be that he said this, because, you know, they're going to deduce who said what. Tistayim de Rebbe he'ala ben al pi aviv lekihuna. How do we know? Titania hare shabava amar bini ze v'kohen hu, ne'eman l'achilo v'truma, ve'enu ne'eman l'asiyo isha divrei Rebbe. Okay, so here we have a braita that says that Rebbe holds that if a guy comes and says, this is my son and he's a Kohen, he's trusted for truma purposes, not for yuchsim purposes. Amar lo Rabbi Chia said to him, im atam amino l'achilo v'truma, tamino l'asiyo isha. Why are you distinguishing? Either believe him across the board or don't believe him across the board. Why are you doing one and the other? In other words, what's the issue? When it comes to Truma, everyone's giving this guy Truma anyway. So therefore, I can allow him to feed his son truma, because if everyone's trusting him for truma purposes, then obviously I can do that. But to marry a woman, you know, that already is a different level, and that we can't trust. So what do you see here? Tistayim, right? Now, what do you assume? That Rebbe is clearly the one who allows the father for the son. Umi de Rebbe, he'ala ben al pi aviv l'kuna. Rabbi Chiya, he'ala ach al pi aviv l'levia. So now, if Rebbe was that one, then Rabbi Chiya must be the other one. So now they're going to say, Rabbi Chiya, maishna ben delo, de karav hu etzal aviv, achnami, karav hu etzal achiv. Rabbi Chiya didn't want to allow the father's testimony for the son. So why would he allow the brother's testimony for the brother? So what do they answer? B'mesiach lefi tumo. What does that mean? It means the brother didn't come to court and say, I'm testifying that my brother's a Levi. He said it, you know, derech agav, like he was telling a story, and in the story it became clear that he comes from a family of Levim. Okay? So here we're going to have an example. Ki ha'adam Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, ma'aseh ba'adam achad she'amesiach lefi tumo. Va'amar, so here was his mesiach lefi tumo. What did he say? Zechorni kshani tinok. I remember I was a little kid. Umurkavak tefo shel abba. Okay, they carried me on my father's shoulders. V'hotziuni mi beit hasefer. V'shituni et ktonati. V'hitbiluni. Lecho betruma la'ereth. Okay, I remember they took me out of school. They took off my cloak. They put me in the mikvahs in order that I'd be able to eat truma in the evening that day. So now what do you see? You can learn from this story that this guy was clearly a Kohen, this kid, right? That's a Mesiach Lepi Tumo, where you tell a story that seems to be clear that you're from a family of Levim. Okay? Then you can prove that you're a Levi. Right? This was a case of Kahuna, but they're just giving an example. Okay? Rabbi Chiya Misayimba, and he finished this story. He told this story of this kid who said I was a Kohen. V'chaverai b'delim b'meni, and my friends would stay far away from me. Why? Because they were worried they were going to mitame me. As after they did me in the mikvah, my friends kept their distance from me. You can imagine, right? This is obviously trauma for this poor kid. And that's why when he's older, this is what he remembers, right? He remembers this trauma for being ostracized because he was the son of a Kohen, you know, and he had to... Okay, and based on this story, Rebbe allowed him to be a Kohen. So comes Rabbi Chiya and he says, this is... Right, this would be the case where I would allow a brother to testify about a brother, about Levia, if there was some sort of a story that he was telling, and through that we were able to conclude that he was a Levi.